and we've got these guys. Connor, Mackie, and Bernie are the rookies. Three sports fans left unsupervised in the studios of Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, bringing you a whole, literally new sports talk show. The Rookies starts now.
Good morning, Charlotte, and welcome inside the studio of Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. We are the Rookies. My name is Mackie Gallagher, joined to my right by Connor Sherman, and to his right is Bernie Bowles. We have a lot of big news to talk about this week. A lot of things happened coming out of the Carolina Panthers camp. There's some baseball scandals going on. More and more stuff is coming out with the 2017 Houston Astros team and their road to the World Series. And also, we have not been on the airwaves since the national championship game was played between Clemson and LSU. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
I said I don't wanna.
Well, that's what we're gonna do.
Because you were wrong.
He was wrong.
I wasn't wrong.
Yeah,
I was just a little bit upset.
What do you call that whenever you incorrectly predict a game?
Incorrectly predict a game.
That's what you call it. You can also call it wrong.
It was wrong.
Are you looking to catch these hands today?
I am. Les isn't here to protect you today.
But, yeah, I apologize, boys. But anyway, Houston Astros, Luke Kuechly retiring, Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator, Al Holcomb as the defensive run game coordinator, national championship game. We have a lot to talk about today. But, of course, being in Charlotte, we have to talk about the big news of the middle linebacker for the Carolina Panthers retiring, and that is Luke Kuechly, the beloved Luke Kuechly, retired at the age of 28. First off, I just want to know where y'all were, what y'all were doing when the news broke. Because this is very abrupt breaking news that happened a few nights ago.
I was playing Fortnite.
Oh, that's good. I was running the board for the Duke game here in studio. I'm also 28 years old, so this hits hard home.
It hits
home for me.
So I was just talking to my friend yesterday. I was like, it's weird that we're finally getting to the age to where we're seeing these like super athletes do crazy things, and they're officially younger than us.
Maybe I should retire.
Maybe like it's like I saw Luka Doncic hit a game-winning 35-footer yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm like, that man is 2 years younger than me. And it makes me feel old. And I'm just like, he's doing so much more with his life. I was probably doing the same thing Connor was doing. I was playing Xbox. I was playing some Call of Duty. And in between games, I just got on Twitter. And I saw one tweet, and it was just from my friend, casual Panthers fan. And he just said, oh, my God, Luke really retired. And I replied, I said, wait, what? That was the first I've ever heard of anything. I was like, wait, what? If on Twitter, if you see just Luke, no last name, anything, you automatically know it's Luke Kuechly. And I refreshed Twitter, and immediately the next 100 tweets were all about Luke Kuechly retiring.
I had from an unnamed source that we all are acquaintances with this person, but they did say that this was a decision that was made. All right, so the top of the hour has now started playing at 10 minutes and 20 seconds in, as opposed to 9:59 and 50 seconds, yeah, which is what we're used to. So, wow, that's great. But I'm just very sad. But at the same time, I understand where Luke is coming from.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly, he led all linebackers in pass deflections, interceptions, and tackles since he entered the league. Luke Kuechly, also 28 years old. That's a young age, but, I mean, he has 3 documented concussions that we know of. I mean, if you play football, if you know football, you know there's a chance that there might be a few that, especially with the position like Luke Kuechly, to where your sole job is just hit somebody and stop the ball carrier. I mean, the chances of him having more than those 3 concussions are pretty high.
Yeah, back to what I was saying, Mackie, I kind of lost my train of thought.
Oh, you're good.
But an unnamed source told me that this was something that was in the works for like the last week, maybe 4 or 5 days prior to when he actually announced it, was when Luke kind of decided that he was going to hang it up. But like I said, as a fan, you look at this and you're like, God, how are we going to overcome this? Mm-hmm. We got to draft somebody. We have to get some. It changes everything about our approach this offseason, because you can't replace Luke Kuechly.
You cannot.
But you have to try, because this team, and I know Shaq Thompson, maybe you move him to the middle, I could see that happening. And then you get somebody who can play the weak or the strong side. This is a huge loss. Not just for the field, but in the locker room.
It is. Wukiku was definitely a captain. He was a team leader. If you talk to anybody, they talk about his character. They talk about who he is as a person. I mean, Jonathan Stewart was just in the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte studios earlier this week to contest how great of a person Wukiku is. Pretty much, if you just know Wukiku, if you follow him, if you watch him on the football field, you just know that he's a great guy. He's on the football field, as Pat McAfee would say. He's a lunatic. He would turn the switch, but he's a very, very quiet guy.
Mackie, I have to correct you.
A leader on and off the field, boys.
It's McAfee.
I always get it wrong.
You do. But it's okay. It's a lovable thing about you, Mackie.
What did you say?
It's like when you put S's on the end of words.
No, I only did that once. Did I say McAfee?
Yeah.
What is it?
No, it's McAfee. You said McAfee.
McAfee. I'm just thinking about McCaffrey. Oh,
yeah, he's always on your mind.
He is.
Love him.
I hope he doesn't leave. We'll see what happens with that. But I saw one article, and I want to run this idea by you. Why is it, and there are some different circumstances, but I want to hear y'all's opinions. Why is it when Andrew Luck retired before the season started, that might be a huge reason for it, he was booed off the field. Twitter and social media was coming after him. And then when Wukiku retired at the age of 28, just as young as Andrew Luck, I mean, everybody understands where he comes from. I understand where both Luck and Wukiku come from, but it definitely got two different reactions from the public, not really from the league, but mainly just from the public and people on the internet. Why do y'all think
different
that is?
Fans?
Different fans?
Different fan base. Carolina Panther fans are a little bit less salty than them Colt fans. Andrew Luck was supposed to be the next big thing, and you know, Andrew Luck was a great quarterback his whole career. His issue, though, is he couldn't stay healthy, and that's because of his offensive line was absolutely awful. The whole time Andrew Luck played for the Colts, his offensive line was garbage. Luke Kuechly, on and off the field, he's had his fair share of concussions, right? But he has always been that guy. Mm-hmm. And there's really no other explanation to it. I think it's the difference in fan bases. Andrew Luck retired because of injuries, and Luke Kuechly just wants to live a long life.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to disagree with you, Connor. I think it's all about timing, like you said, Mackie. Mm-hmm. Before the season started, Colts fans had this. They were ready. They played well last year. The last couple years, actually, the Colts have been fairly good. And I think they thought they were on the cusp of being that people were saying
especially
they were a dark horse.
Especially in the AFC South as well.
Exactly.
If Andrew Luck coming back for a team in the AFC South,
right,
they could have won that division.
And I hate to say it's about timing, but I genuinely believe that. The Panthers honestly had a rough two couple seasons. Mm-hmm. Luke was not the problem, but he was not going to go ahead and take you over that hump. So I feel like that's why people are not as upset. They're more sad. Mm-hmm. Than mad at Luke Kuechly. And I think ultimately 99% of fans understand why he did this. And I think after the fact, Colts fans really understood, probably shouldn't have done that to somebody who essentially gave their all. I would compare Andrew Luck and Luke Kuechly almost in the same breath for their franchises. When Andrew Luck is healthy, there's nobody that means as much to their franchise as him. Yeah. Almost as Luke was here on the defense.
And the thing was, too, Luke also was and the Panthers were also to get it out on his own terms. That was a big thing with Andrew Luck, to where it was leaked. And it came out while he was on the field during a preseason game. Yep. And you could tell that just ruined Andrew Luck when he was walking off the field and he was getting booed. I understand the fans' frustrations because the news did break during a preseason game. And like you and Connor both said, you had the expectation that now with Luck returning back to the Indianapolis Colts, this is going to be the year for the Colts. They're going to win the AFC South, get a playoff berth, and then Andrew Luck will be able to showcase his real talent on a bigger stage and able to stay healthy. And then that just did not come to fruition. If you think Luke Kuechly I don't think he ever would have, but switch Luke Kuechly and Andrew Luck with timing. Do you think the Panther fans would have reacted when you talk about the differences in fan bases
No.
the same way as the Colts?
No.
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know.
Panther fans have always bowed down to Luke.
That is true. So of Colts to Andrew Luck, though, as well. If you're in the middle of a preseason game and Luke Kuechly's not playing and then the news broke out right before a season, ooh, I don't know. Especially with the way it was.
It was the way it was broken, too. And if you're drunk at a football game, right, and you find out that your franchise, and I do think a quarterback is different from a linebacker. I'm just going to be completely honest. I mean, Luke was a big difference maker, but quarterbacks can go out there and literally win you games. Linebackers can do their best, and they're huge contributors, but I think it's a totally different position.
It's harder for a linebacker to solely win you a game. The only thing I could think of right now is that 24-tackle game Luke Kuechly had against the Saints. That
in the rain.
Got us, that got the Panthers into the Super Bowl. Or not Super Bowl, the playoffs.
But I can see where you're coming from, Connor. It would be hard for me to see certain fans not react in a negative way. I feel like for the most part, people would be like, I don't think they would know how to react. If it's if it's announced during a third quarter of a preseason game and you're drunk and this guy is, there is no signs whatsoever of this guy retiring beforehand. And then it just comes out. Also, Andrew Luck didn't really get the opportunity Luke got in that he could post a video and tell people, look, this is me. This is my decision, as opposed to it coming out as the media on Twitter. And then he's got to kind of just talk about it.
Once Andrew Luck had that press conference, I mean, he's already been viewed. He's already been booed and everything. So it's a different vibe. With
people have already gotten their takes in that they don't. They don't like Andrew right now. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to hear it a certain way until I feel like a few days after. I'm sure Colts fans absolutely regret booing Andrew Luck off the field. I'm sure they do.
Because, and that's one thing that's coming out, and that's one thing you're recognizing with the league this year. I mean, there's a lot of notable retirements that are early, but that are by the age of 30. I mean, a few years ago, not really a few years ago, I can't remember what year he retired, but I remember when Calvin Johnson left Megatron for the Detroit Lions. I was like, this man is like the future of wide receivers in football. And he retired because you just have to understand, and that's what Marshawn Lynch said after they lost to Green Bay on Sunday. He
came out, take care of your chickens.
Take care of your mental, take care of your chickens. I mean, you got to take care of what you have, and there sometimes you have to be able to just set aside the game you love so that way you can ensure that you live a better and healthy life for you, your kids, your family. You don't, because you want football to be your life, but you don't want football to take your life. And I think that's what Luke Kuechly came down to. And he also said, and I'll admit, I cried a little bit. I cried like there was full tears coming down the cheeks a little bit, especially when his voice was cracking in that video when he said this game, there's only one way to play this game, and that's fast and physical, and he can't really do that anymore. And if you watch some of the tape from last season, I mean, you can see there were some games to where Luke Kuechly just didn't look like himself. And I don't know if that's more individually or if that's because of the 3-4 scheme or what.
It was the way that he had to approach tackling. After a head injury, I think he felt like he was scared to hit as hard. He didn't want to hurt himself again. So I think when you're not able to play, like he said, fast, physical football, you know, what's the point? Especially if you're a guy like Luke Kuechly who lives, breathes, eats football. I mean, that's his life. I could see him coming to the NFL and being a dynamite coordinator. And then maybe moving his way up to coach, because he was essentially a coach on the football field.
And he says he would like to stay involved somehow.
I would love it if Tepper made that happen.
And a friend did say, I would love for him to be the defensive coordinator for the Panthers, which I agree with. I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But also, I also think that Luke Kuechly maybe wants to take a year or two off.
Yeah.
Everything since pretty much he was a kid, at least since high school, his whole life has been at school. And then football, and then it just turned into football is now my full life. It's my job. It's what I prep for every day.
The man didn't even have cable for the first 4 years of his career.
I love that story, too.
I forgot who said it. Was it Peanut Tillman?
No, it was Captain Munnerlin.
Captain Munnerlin. He came out and said, Captain Munnerlin came out and said that when Luke Kuechly first got drafted in his first 4 years in Charlotte, he didn't have cable, so that way it wouldn't take away from him watching film at home. And that shows.
That's a football guy.
And I remember in the top 100 interviews they did in the 2015 season when they were talking about Luke Kuechly, everybody was just saying how they just called out 40, 50% of his plays every game. And you would see some clips of the quarterback checking, like kill, trying to do an audible. And you would see Luke Kuechly step in, he listens, and then as soon as the quarterback starts saying something, he's immediately telling people to be alert, moving people into position. It was truly amazing to watch. And I don't think, at least for the Carolina Panthers, it's going to be a really long time if the Panthers find somebody that replaces Luke Kuechly or find somebody just either on the offense or defense that can even come close to the kind of cognizance Luke Kuechly had with this game of football. I mean, he was so smart, and he just was able to know the opponent's plays and where the ball was going every play, pretty much every game.
When I think of Kuechly, it reminds me, and I know this is not, they're not really comparable, but they kind of are, Dan Morgan. Okay. Was an absolute beast when he was healthy. The problem is he got so many concussions. He might have had 1 or 2 years where he was dominant, mm-hmm. but he would go full force at you, hit you as hard as he could. He was that kind of guy. Luke was also that kind of guy. But can you imagine if Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, and John Beeson were all healthy at the same time playing in that linebacking mm-hmm. corps? Because John Beeson, before he got injured, was an all-pro.
Yeah.
And he was Luke Kuechly before we had Luke Kuechly.
And I'll admit, I forgot about John Beeson a little bit. I used to have a Beeson jersey and everything. But it's just you get a linebacker drafted, and John Beeson was a great linebacker, but then he's replaced with Luke Kuechly. And if you're John Beeson, you got to be like, all right, if they're going to replace me, I'm happy that they replaced me with him. because that is the golden child of linebackers, probably the golden child of defense in the NFL. I mean, if you're a player in the NFL, it's nothing but high respect for Luke Kuechly, and I enjoyed seeing all the love from NFL teams and players. Even the Atlanta Falcons posted a picture of Matt Ryan shaking hands with Luke Kuechly, saying respect. And, you know, I mean, it is a game. The Falcons and Panthers are big rivals in the NFC South, but it's nice seeing it go beyond the game right there.
It was something that took everybody by surprise. Mm-hmm. It was. And just all the nice words that everybody around the league had to say about Luke, I'm sure that meant something really special to him.
Because I think it's also, I mean, with Luke Kuechly and that coming out, the first instinct is just shock. Nothing. Because, I mean, you already expected a lot of change this offseason. We knew a new coach was coming halfway through last season. Then we knew a new coach was coming once Ron Rivera was officially fired. That was a given. And then when the new coach comes in, you're expecting new coordinators, new coaching staff. What's going to happen with Greg Olsen? What's going to happen with Cam Newton? You thought out of all the big stars that could possibly stay in Charlotte, Luke Kuechly was near the top of my list of people who could stay.
Right.
But now that's how it starts. And, I mean, I'm still bracing myself for Greg Olsen. I'm thinking Greg Olsen might call it quits. And then I pretty much am just waiting for news from the Carolina Panthers on Cam Newton, because at this point, everything is just speculation.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. But to be honest, nobody knows what's going to happen. And we're not going to know what happens until the Panthers give out a statement or show us what they're going to do. This draft is going to be a lot. And you mentioned it with Luke Kuechly now retiring. The draft is going to change. But, I mean, and there's one word before moving on to Joe Brady. There's one word that came up when I was talking with Panther fans about it. I'm trying to do a story for the article. Or I was trying to do a story for the website. And I want to just kind of do it based on what everybody on Twitter is saying and, like, just the fan appreciation for Luke Kuechly. And one word came up in multiple replies to my tweet, and it was stability. When Luke Kuechly was on the field and he was the middle linebacker, you knew he was going to make a play. You knew that if Luke Kuechly had a chance to stop somebody, he's going to stop him. And this year was really the first year in his career to where he wasn't automatic, and I will use that word. He wasn't automatic in terms of once he got your arms on you, you're down. You're done. If he gets his hands on the ball, most likely he's going to intercept it. I mean, and we saw it, and I think that influenced his decision. But after that first initial feeling of shock, you also got that feeling of relief. Like, you know what? You've done so much for the Carolina Panthers organization. You've done so much for the Charlotte community. You have to take care of yourself. And if you disagree with that, I can also say that you might be a little selfish. You're like, no, he needs to be on the team right now. Because in the end of the day, or at the end of the day, it's really a game. It's just sport. It is a job. And if a job
is a business.
It's business. And if a job isn't really treating you that well anymore, and you don't see yourself succeeding that much in your job, and you feel like leaving that job is going to be better for you, your family, your mental health, I mean, you got to make that decision for you. That's what Luke Kuechly did. And I'm happy that the Panther fan base and the community is rallying behind him, and they're not giving him a bad send-off like some fan bases have given to their star players that retired early.
No, Colts.
There's a million things in that organization that Luke is able to do. Give him a couple of years. Let him live his life. He'll probably get married, and then he'll come back.
Live your life, Luke.
Gosh.
I'm excited.
It's it's not all about the game. If you devote yourself 100% to this game, make as much money as Luke does, I'm okay with his decision.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, it's sad to see him go. Watching a player like him is electric, bro. It's like watching McDavid or Crosby every time they're on the ice. It's like watching Aaron Judge every time he's up to bat. You know what I mean?
It's just
watching
a player. It's a household
exactly.
name. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows who Luke is. And it's just going to be weird when we start talking about football this year.
It is.
And we're not talking about Luke.
And just so many things have happened with the Panthers this week. And one of them as well, we're going to stray away from Luke Kuechly. We're going to talk about an addition rather than somebody leaving. Yeah, subtraction. Thank you.
Math is hard.
I'm a comm major. So Joe Brady was hired as the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. Matt Rhule made his first big hire with Joe Brady after Joe Brady helped LSU win the national championship on Saturday. So what were your first thoughts on this? I mean, I know when we were texting the group chat, I seemed pretty happy. I like this. My big take on Joe Brady coming as the offensive coordinator is he understands that the offense is always evolving. And I don't see, you know, the Panthers continuously doing one thing if it's not working. I can see them switching it up game by game.
I don't think Joe's ever coached at the NFL level, though. He's never coached at the National Football League level.
Yeah, he was the offensive assistant for the Saints.
For 2 years.
Offensive assistant. Okay, yeah. But he's never on the coaching staff in the NFL. Yeah, but he's never held a coordinator position.
No, I mean, the dude's 30. He's the youngest coordinator in the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, he hasn't.
No, the Panthers are getting a big, a crazy new coaching staff.
It's going to be, listen, he's going to be a good addition, but I think I would give him a year or two before we see what he's capable of doing.
Same thing with Matt Rhule.
Rhule needs to understand that, and Tepper needs to understand that.
Yeah, and that's what the Panther fan base needs to understand. I don't think the Panthers are in a rebuild at this point, because when you get new coaches, I mean, you're rebuilding a lot. But I also don't think it's in the rebuild to where it's like the tanking rebuild. It's just a lot of new things are coming in, and Matt Rhule and Joe Brady are going to change up a lot of things. I mean, Joe Brady won one of the most prestigious awards in college football. It's the Broyles Award, and he won it for the best assistant coach in college football this year. And we'll be right back. We're going to finish talking more about Joe Brady and the offensive coordinator after this quick break. And then after that, we'll talk some national championship and this Houston Astros scandal. I know Connor's getting ready to get into this Houston Astros talk. Don't go anywhere. This is The Rookies right here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Hey, hit that other hotkey off.
Shout out, Mackie. Shout out Mackie for playing our new sweeper from Jonathan Stewart. Shout out Bernie for putting that together. You were listening to Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. This is The Rookies, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, and 103.7 HD3. If you've got that kind of money,
Mackie, your face is so red right now.
Dude,
it's okay,
I'm messing
brother.
Up so Mac- much.
It's okay.
I should be everybody's rookie mistake today.
You know, even Joe Montana had bad games.
Montana?
Joe Montana.
Man.
That linebacker.
And also my
face. For the Mud Dogs.
My face turns red for everything. And you know what? You know what makes it turn even more red? When people call me out on my face being red. Anytime I exert any
it's
kind of.
It's gotten less red since
oh my
I
gosh.
Mentioned it.
Anytime I exert any kind of energy, my face is going to turn red. And someone really did this at work to me on Tuesday. That's why I talk about this. Because I told him multiple times, like, hey, like, because every time he says my face, there's this one lady I work with, Cirilla. I love that woman to death.
Cirilla.
She listened to the show?
Yes. She, all right. So, do we have a Spanish radio station?
Yeah.
We do.
Beasley?
Yes.
Not that I know of.
Okay, because I asked her, she was like, I listened to your show last weekend. She was like, I listened on the Spanish station. And I was like, oh, I appreciate that. And then like an hour later, I was like, we have a Spanish radio station?
No.
So, no.
She
so
lied.
Maybe
she lied
listening
to you.
To someone else. What?
She lied to you.
What if she's listening right now and then calls you out of work, Mackie?
Oh, I mean, we make fun of each other all the time. I love Cirilla. One thing that I want to get to, though, is Joe Brady. We talked about him before the break. Joe Brady, we got
Tom Brady.
Joe Brady, the better Brady. We talked about, or Connor already gave his opinion on him a little bit with, you know, being a college coach, not having much of, you know, NFL experience. But Bernie, what's your take on it?
I love the hire. Okay, and I'm just going to go ahead and list off a few numbers here for you. LSU offense was first in the, Connor's over here making faces at me. I'm going to throw out some stats like Connor. LSU's offense was first in NCAA history with a 5,000-yard passer and 2,000-yard receivers, as well as a 1,000-yard rusher. So, what does that mean? It means LSU's offense has been prolific, and it's been the best offense ever. They scored at least 40 points in five games where they were playing top 10 ranked opponents.
And I want you to repeat the passing stats real quick.
Yeah, first offense in NCAA history with a 5,000-yard passer,
okay,
1,000-yard rusher, and 2,000-yard receivers.
Cool. Now let's see him do that with Kyle Allen as the starting quarterback.
I don't think Kyle Allen's going to be the starting quarterback.
All I'm saying is Joe Brady, I mean, he was the passing game coordinator, so those are good numbers for somebody who coordinated the passing game.
And I will say I did love in the national championship game when Clemson was dogging him early.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Brady and the offensive coordinator for LSU combined to make a really good game plan, because Brent Venables is one of the hardest people to game plan against, especially in game. He's a great defensive coordinator, and I'm really surprised that no one's hired him out of Clemson. I know he's probably got a great contract there and a really cushy job, but he is somebody that people have been after for the past couple years. I wouldn't be surprised to see if he gets a job in the next couple years as a head coach somewhere. But that's where I love to see that we haven't seen as Panther fans in a long time is in-game adjustments.
And yes,
I feel like we always go in halftime, we're down, we're like, all right, we're only down one score. We get the ball at halftime. Let's just try to score quick, make it a tie game. Let's see what we got rolling out of here. And it's the same old stuff.
Boys, but it matters who's playing quarterback. Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than what the Panthers have to offer.
It also matters.
Are we really going to talk about this right now?
It matters who our offensive line is, and yes. That's where I feel like the bigger issue is. I'm not so much worried about who's behind center. I'm more worried about who's playing center, because Paradis this year was awful.
Yeah, because right now we're talking about Joe Brady and the offensive coordinator. I'm talking about what he could possibly bring in to the Panthers.
Oh, I love the scheme that he's going to spread it out.
And this is my question with that. The Panthers' offensive line is known to struggle. They played decent. I think they played fairly well the first 7-8 weeks of last season. I really think they do. During that win streak with Kyle Allen, the offensive line was holding up. The defense was holding up. All around, the Panthers looked like a playoff team. But with the Joe Brady wanting to spread it out, I mean, how much time can this offensive line give whoever the quarterback is the time to even make these plays and let these spread plays develop?
Well, I will say that when you have a spread offense, you're not going to have those tight ends at the line that are able to chop for you a little bit, just able to push people out of the way. You're going to have your offensive linemen actually play well and do well against the blitz with not much help on the outside. So it's going to rely on getting the ball out quick. It's gonna be almost like Drew Brees, knowing where he's going with the ball beforehand. Mm-hmm. You have to know. And if Kyle Allen is gonna be the starter, like Connor said, he's got to get better with his progressions. And that only happens when you have more time behind the line and more snaps. The last part of the season, I feel like Kyle Allen regressed majorly, basically because the offensive line gave him no time. Mm-hmm. I mean, what that does for quarterbacks' confidence is astronomical. So you get Kyle Allen in there, maybe with some offensive line help. I'd love to see if we go get somebody in free agency. I don't think you can just rely on drafting offensive linemen, just throwing rookies into the fire and expecting it to work out immediately. But I think this team, with the right pieces that we bring in, could win 7 or 8 games. It won't be a terrible year, but I don't think it's going to be super fun. Might be like the Hornets this year.
No, spoken like a true Panthers fan.
No, and there were a lot of question marks coming into this offseason for the Carolina Panthers. I mean, David Tepper filled one of them by hiring Matt Rhule. And then also Joe Brady coming in. Another question mark was Greg Olsen. That has yet to been fulfilled. Luke Kuechly was not a question mark, but he retired. And also, there's a question mark at the quarterback position. I personally think Cam Newton is returning, but the realistic I'm also a realist, and there's a high chance that he may not. I mean, there's a lot of speculation around Cam Newton at the quarterback position. But at this point, with all the speculation that's come out, we're all literally just saying the same thing, that I'm just waiting for the Panthers to come out with a statement. And right now, Cam Newton is the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers until further notice to me.
I will say that, shouts out Big Cat, who did respond to us on Facebook Live, very, very loyal listener, pointed out that Joe Burrow the year prior only threw 16 touchdown passes. This is starting every game for LSU, mm-hmm. Okay? 60 this year. He had 3,200 passing yards, essentially. 5,000 plus this year. How much of that is on Joe Burrow? I think a lot of it has to do with Joe Brady. And you can say what you want, but Joe Burrow was a game manager before Joe Brady got to LSU. So I feel like he has a lot to do with Joe Burrow's success. So thank you, Big Cat, for bringing that to my attention. I appreciate that.
And if you don't know much about Joe Brady, he was a wide receiver at Williams & Mary, and then he coached linebackers at Williams & Mary from 2013 to 2014, was a graduate assistant at Penn State from 15 to 16, then made his way to the NFL where he was an offensive assistant for the Saints from 2017 to 2018. And then, of course, he was with LSU when they had one of the greatest offenses in college football history, won the national championship last week against the 29-0 Clemson Tigers. And also, he accepted the Panthers' job less than a week after getting a 3-year contract extension with the LSU Tigers. I mean, I thought Joe Brady, I mean, I said when the David Tepper was starting to search for offensive or for head coach, I would like a young offensive-minded guy. Matt Rhule didn't really fit that type for me, but he has grown on me. I like the hire. But also, I love the Joe Brady hire. I mean, and I agree with you, Connor. I expect the Panthers to come out and win games next season, but I'm also not expecting them to come out and just completely flip the switch. But I'm excited to watch them through this progression. I think a positive change can come, and we can see a positive uptick with the offense next season.
He's going to call you Homer.
I just don't see it, boys. The Panthers don't have anything for me. I mean, why do you think that they're going to win 7-8 games this year?
This year?
This coming year, you just said 7-8 games. Did you not just say 7-8 games?
I just said they would win games.
All right, you just said they'd win games.
I think they're going to surprise people. It's always the teams that you sleep on. And look at the Hornets this year. I'm going to keep referring to the Hornets. Before the season started, people picked them to win 15 games.
I picked 22.
All right, I picked 25. But other people who are experts, supposedly, at this field, picked them to win 15 games. They've already won 15 games. And we're not even halfway through the season.
And the only thing is, yes, they didn't win the last season, but the Panthers went out and completely changed the coaching staff from last season.
I didn't mean to flip it to Hornets. I'm sorry,
no, you're
Mackie.
Good. One of the reasons that the Panthers struggled last season, just like the play on the field, was the coaching on the sideline. Coaching on the sideline was a big issue. They got rid of him, and so now they brought in a completely new head coach. They're bringing in a new offensive coordinator. They're bringing in a new defensive run game coordinator that we're about to get to. And then I'm assuming they're going to bring in more players. I mean, they need to because some players are going to be leaving. Some players are going to be coming in. I mean, we're looking at a new team. It's a new year, new team. You have McCaffrey coming off a historic year. You have DJ Moore showing promise on the offense. You have Shaq Thomas, who just got re-signed to a big deal, which that contract makes a whole lot more sense now with Flutie retired. You have Short possibly coming back on the defensive front. You have a huge draft to where the Panthers have a seventh pick, which is, I believe, their highest pick since they picked Cam Newton in 2010. I mean, there's a lot of things lining up for the Panthers that could be positive for a positive change for next season. I would understand where you're not coming from if you don't see it. If it was the same exact team as last year, if it was the same exact coaching staff, 3-4, Ron Rivera still on the sideline. But that's the fact of the matter is it's different. The change is coming. David Tepper made it known in the middle of the season that mediocrity will not stand. And who knows if this next coaching staff or these next players will be mediocre or not. But he backed up his word and he went out and made some changes when changes needed to be done. And I believe the changes he has made so far are good changes to this team, and I think they will have a positive impact on the future of this football organization.
How many people thought the 49ers would be in the NFC Championship this year? They were 4-12 last year. I mean, I'm just saying, like,
I don't think
he's saying that the Panthers are going to be in the NFC.
I'm telling you guys, that was one of the worst red zone defenses I've ever seen in my life.
I know.
One of the worst red zone defenses I've ever seen.
So what do you do when defense is bad?
Okay, they're changing the scheme, right? But you're losing the best defensive player you've had probably as part of your franchise ever.
I know, and the sole purpose of these people's jobs are to fulfill that gap, or to fill that gap. When a player leaves, everybody knows you're not going to replace Luke Kuechly. You need to replace his production. It's literally Moneyball. It's Billy Bean from the Oakland A's.
So who are you going to bring in there? That's
what the whole draft is for. That's what free agency is for. It literally happened.
But that's why I'm asking you. Who do you think that they're bringing?
It just happened 3 days ago. I haven't really done a look and see what middle linebackers are available or what draft. But I'm assuming that the Panthers are going to go into this draft where they have the seventh pick, which is a potential franchise-changing pick. They have a seventh pick, and I would be furious if they don't spend this pick on defense. There is no reason that the Panthers should really draft offensively in this upcoming draft.
The only linebacker I could see us taking, Connor, to answer your question, at seven would be Isaiah Simmons if he's still there, the Clemson linebacker. The kid is unreal. He has been for the past 2 years. And I could see him stepping in and producing right away. I wouldn't say that he's Luke Kuechly, but this kid is really good. If you look up his stats, they're eye-popping. I think that could be a guy in play at number seven or somebody from the offensive line. I've heard all these rumors about trading up for Joe Burrow.
I don't like it. That is stupid.
I think it really depends on the amount of draft capital you have to give up. If Cam Newton's involved in this trade,
that's so
sure.
Stupid.
But if we have to give up two first-round picks, including the one next year, and a second-round pick, I'm out.
No, it's not.
It's to move up five or six spots.
And really,
no.
the quarterback position struggled last season, but that was not really the sole purpose.
We have so many needs.
So many
And
needs.
Now including linebacker.
And the thing is, it's what you said about Joe Brady and Matt Rhule, Connor. It's just you did, you can't expect them to come in and go 16-0. You can't expect them to come in and automatically be contending with the New Orleans. If they do, I'll be happy.
And seven games is probably wishful thinking, Connor. You're right.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's just like I'm also used to sports. I'm also used to just seeing that's the whole job of these coaches. That's the whole job of the GM. It's just, all right, we lost this guy. That sucks. Luke Kuechly is probably one of the best defensive player the Carolina Panthers will always have. But now, we can either sit here and we can mourn about it, or we can go out and try to win football games. And I'm sure Luke Kuechly, if they call Luke Kuechly, be like, hey, who do you want to hire, or who do you have any kind of input?
Listen, I'm not saying anybody's going to sit there and mourn it, but I'm asking you in the reality of it. I'm not asking you about the players, what are the players thinking. I'm sitting here asking you what you're thinking.
And I said right now I have not really done research on the players.
I heard that. But, I mean, some of the free agents, could they go after Teddy?
Bridgewater?
Yeah. You think they would go after Teddy?
No. Right now, I don't even think quarterback position is really an issue. I think the defense needs to be fixed. And that's why I think Al Holcomb, which I want to get your opinions on, because he's the new defensive run game coordinator. The Panthers finished last year 29th ranked in run defense. They were allowing 142 rushing yards a game. Rushing alone, 142. The last three games, they allowed 163 rushing yards a game. They gave over 200 to the Indianapolis Colts. No matter what your quarterback is, no matter who your running back is, if you're giving up 200 rushing yards, you got to hope that your quarterback is Patrick Mahomes scoring three touchdowns in 3.5 minutes. That's the only way you're going to keep up with your opponent. And so I'm thinking with Al Holcomb coming in, he was the Cleveland defensive run game coordinator last year. Do you know where Cleveland finished ranked in the rushing game at
Top
the end
10?
Of the season? 30th.
Oh, that's great.
They were behind us. Also, Al Holcomb was the linebackers coach from 2013 to 2017.
There it is.
When you had Shaq Thompson, Luke Kuechly, and Thomas Davis, which could arguably be the best linebacker trio of the 2010s, in my opinion. I think you could argue that. If you really wanted to sit down and look it up, you could argue that that trio is better than any other trio from 2000.
Seattle had a pretty good trio, too. Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright. There's one more person.
But throughout 2013 to 2017, both those linebacker cores were in their prime. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, do you think that a lot of good can come from this, or do you think Al Holcomb, because he's strictly on the run game. He's strictly supposed to stop the run game, the defensive run game coordinator, and he was on a team that finished 30th last year. And then he just moved to a team that finished 29th last year.
Yeah.
So do you think that Al Holcomb will improve this run game? Do you think that this defense will be able to improve this run game? Because right now, I think that the first thing the Panthers defense needs to do is go to a 4-3. I mean, the Panthers, I feel like that's what Ron Rivera had for him. He was always had a top 10 defense. Like, no matter what, yes, the secondary may be trash sometimes, but the front seven's going to stop the run. And then he switches it up, and then the complete opposite happened last season. And that's one of the reasons why Ron Rivera was hosed and he had to move over to the Washington Redskins. Do you think Al Holcomb will change that? Or do you think,
I think when we get Phil Snow in here, who's the defensive coordinator for Baylor, who's going to be the DC here, I think you're going to see him bring his scheme with him. I believe it's like a 4-2-5, where they have two linebackers, four down linemen, and then five defensive backs. I think that adds up to 11. I'm not 100%. Math is hard. But
<It does. laughs>
I think we'll know more when he comes around and tells us what he's going to do. I think Al Holcomb is a great hire, specifically because they hired him for the job that we were the worst at last year. And I think that speaks volumes.
No, that's what I mean. Like,
I don't care who we bring in. This guy is literally in charge of one damn thing.
Let's dedicate one person to the defensive
run game. That's what I'm saying. So good. I'm glad we did that instead of just, you know, hey, you want to be a special assistant? No, you're gonna make sure our run defense isn't so putrid. Yeah.
And
I love that.
And it's just like, I do understand. And going back to what you said, Connor, I do understand with right now. What pieces do the Panthers have that can be completely different from last year? And it is wishful thinking, like you said, and like both you and Bernie said. But the thing is, it's just like I'm also happy to see David Tepper last season in the middle of the season just straight up say we will not stand for mediocrity. I've given you 2 years, Ron, and I'm trying to give you a chance, and nothing really happened. Same thing with Ron Rivera leaving. I mean, I kind of thought that I've been wanting him gone as head coach around since like the 2016 season. But I'm also grateful for the time what he's done here in Carolina. But now that I see an owner and I see a GM making changes, I don't know what these people are going to do. That's sports. That's what it is. I'm just happy that changes need to be made. And the Panthers are trying to make those changes. It just shows me that they are dedicated to a future of winning. Because right now, back-to-back losing seasons in horrible fashion. Horrible fashion. I think that's what's so miserable about the last two seasons. It's just hope for the first half and then just nothing but L's for the second half.
It has a lot to do with how you lose games.
It is.
That affects the fans and affects players.
And it's just, and one thing I'm really, sorry, Connor, I didn't mean to throw my flip-flop at you. And one thing I'm really excited about is I really like Joey Sly. And kickers are huge. Kickers are huge in the NFL now. And that's one thing the Panthers struggled with is Graham Gano. Because every time Graham Gano came on the field, Graham Gano came on the field, and I struggled because I'm just like, is he going to make an extra point? And I know everybody, once you bring up Joey Sly, is going to talk about the New Orleans Saints game.
That's the only game.
But listen, Joey Sly is also the number one reason. The only reason the Carolina Panthers were not shut out at home by the two-win Atlanta Falcons. That makes up for him, yes. Oh, man, he missed field goals to lose to the New Orleans Saints, yes. The Panthers were down 29-0 in the third quarter to the 2-win Atlanta Falcons, and he did not miss a field goal after the New Orleans game where he missed three.
And, you know, if we won that game, we'd probably be sitting at, like, the 12th spot in the draft.
Probably.
With Luke Kuechly retiring, not really able. Then at that point, you have to trade up to get somebody.
That would be the most Hornets thing to happen to the Panthers,
yeah,
right there.
Absolutely.
Play horrible.
And I don't want to condone us losing games, but no. That's a game when how you lose, you're like, wow, so deflating.
But no, it's just, I agree with it. I'm just happy that the organization is making changes. And as time goes on, we'll see what happens. But we'll take one more break when we come back. Quick national championship review talk, because I'm sure y'all have heard all about it throughout the week, and I'm really interested to get into this Houston Astros because, man, crazy stuff just continues to come out on Houston during that World Series
bunch
run. Bunch of cheaters. Don't go anywhere.
Bunch of cheaters.
This is the Rookies right here on Fox Sports
Fox
Radio Charlotte.
Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Welcome back to the Rookies here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Connor is mouthing along with me. Thank you very much, Connor. You guys can listen to us on 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, or 103.7 HD3. As Connor would say, if you have that type of money, you can listen to us there. Mackie sounds like John Goodman, apparently, according to Les, which is a compliment. John Goodman has that silky smooth voice.
He does.
Before we went to break, we just wrapped up Joe Brady talk. I think we all like the hire. Connor may be just waiting to see what more we see from him, which is totally fine. He's not a homer like me and Mackie.
I need evidence, man.
He needs evidence, and Connor
and
is
a... Say, and real quick, I wouldn't say it's a homer. It was just, I mean...
We're optimistic.
But the intro also says three sports fans talking, and I have been a Carolina Panther fan since I was 3 years old. Sorry. And I try to stay neutral
Why
sometimes.
Not when you were born?
Yeah, what
Why
other not? Team did you like Band for the
wagon.
First 3 years?
Because I remember when I was three, I was watching a game, and I was like, I'm an autonomous human being. I make decisions for myself. I don't let my mom and dad project their fan bases onto me.
That's fine. I understand.
But they're all Panther fans.
We also wanted to touch real quick before we move on to this Astros MLB scandal. I mean, it's not just the Astros now, but the national title game.
And we just want to talk about it real quick because we previewed it all last weekend, and we want to talk about it.
I mean, I guess this means the Clemson Tigers are the worst team in football now. I think that's what this means.
I'm clearly kidding.
Well, Birdie and I both picked LSU to win. I thought LSU was just the better team. That offense is hard to stop. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, a great quarterback, but I don't know. And it hurt me when he said this. It hurt me down to the core, but I had to agree completely. He said Trevor Lawrence is looking like Cam Newton out there.
He overthrew the ball 17 times. Yep. That's unreal. For Trevor Lawrence, that's crazy.
And all it is just a bad game. And it just happened to be the worst time.
Still a great player, and I think Clemson's the favorites for next year.
Yeah, and that was his first loss as a starter. That really was.
That is crazy to think about.
And it's just, and you're a fool to think that Clemson's really not going to be in that college football playoff next year. I mean, they're going to be there. They're going to be there. I mean,
they aren't, Dabo Sweeney will.
And ETN just he didn't declare for the draft. He's returning.
I know, that's crazy
to
me.
That's huge for that offense. Trevor Lawrence is coming.
He
back.
He was a top five running back in
he
the draft
was.
This year.
And hopefully that doesn't hurt his stock. Hopefully that he just has an even better season this year. Joe Burrow,
wants to get that degree. He wants to be able to work after football.
And maybe he's just scared he won't get drafted high.
Maybe.
But Joe
Burrow had a great game, 5 touchdowns, over 400 yards. I mean, I'm a big, big, big fan of Joe Burrow. I watch LSU football a lot this season. I enjoyed watching that offense. Ja'Marr Chase had an amazing game, over 200 yards. And the LSU running back, Edwards-Helaire. I can never remember his name.
It's okay.
He had another game, too. No touchdowns, but he had over 100 yards, was just marching LSU down the field. And that defense played great for LSU. I mean, there were also some touchy-feely calls, as if you get in every big game. But real quick, the only one play I want to focus on is that offensive pass interference that was called on Clemson when they were trying to come back when they were down by two touchdowns,
were,
I feel like.
There were a couple of really bad calls
on
that game.
But with that one, they called offensive PI, which I did not agree with. I mean, I wanted LSU to win that game, but they were both grabbing each other.
Yeah.
And the Clemson receiver barely like kind of touched him, and he just tripped.
The LSU receiver's hand was out of bounds, and then they scored that next play, too. There were just a couple of real bad calls in that game. I mean, listen, I'm not going to take away from how good LSU looked. Don't get me wrong at all. But calls like that do help ride momentum. But I mean,
and a call like that needs to be made, a hand out of bounds like that needs
well, you
to
can
be
make
made.
The same. You can make the same statement for the OSU Clemson game. I mean, there were a few calls in that game that were questionable that could have gone the complete other way.
Yeah, I mean, there's
like
gonna
that,
be calls
that catch, non catch. I mean, every single game you have plays, one or two plays where you're like, wow, that could have changed momentum completely, and it just doesn't. And that's the human error of football and baseball and all these that have umpires and referees.
Baseball,
it's just what it
umpires,
is.
Umpires, referees, and cameras and center field
yeah,
telling you
what
there's
a great
a
transition.
Coming.
I guess we'll go ahead and transition.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Everybody knows the ending to the LSU tie. But real quick, do you think LSU will be back in the college football playoff next year? Or do you think that
– They're losing a lot of guys.
They're losing a lot of guys.
But just with Coach O, yeah. I believe right. in Coach
and
O.
How
go
much
Tigers.
Fun did they have in the White House?
Oh, that was great. The Get the Gat.
Get the
that blonde lady. Everybody's wondering who
that
blonde lady is.
Video. That was a funny video.
Who was that blonde lady?
I don't know.
Everybody's wondering.
She was a worker for the White House.
It looked like they were all having a good time.
Yeah, it did look fun.
Everybody was having a good time.
But let's go on to the Houston Astros.
But tell me that you've ever danced in the White House.
Yeah.
That's so
do it
cool.
all the time.
That's what I mean. I'm actually going there after this show.
Burns but, like I'm there on the weekly.
But with the so if you don't know really what's happening with the Houston Astros,
tell them.
The Houston Astros were caught using a camera in center field.
Not just one, boys and girls.
How many?
I don't know.
But multiple cameras in center field. They did it different ways, but the main way is a camera in center field recording the catcher signals that relayed automatically to a TV, which was in the dugout. And then they would hit a trash can, and that would allow the batter, the sound from the trash can would go to the batter, and he would know if it's a fastball, a curveball, etc. And now a new thing came out saying that they were wearing buzzers inside of their shirt.
Well, you saw when Jose Altuve rounded home on that walk-off. He went straight into the dugout, and he told his teammates not to tear off his shirt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He didn't want anybody to see.
And then when they asked him about it.
It was all leaked by Carlos Beltran's niece.
You mm-hmm. wearing a wire?
He was wearing a wire.
And that's all it was. And, I mean, I thought that was weird when I was watching that game. He ran straight to when do you ever see someone hit a walk-off home run, let alone a walk-off home run to go to the World Series, and you see them immediately go straight through the crowd to the dugout, pointing, don't rip off my shirt. And then pictures are coming out with Bregman rounding the bases, and you can see an indention where a buzzer is taped to his chest.
Mm.
It's.
Do you guys remember Shallow Hal?
No.
You guys are too young. It was a movie, basically, he'd go on a date, and this guy had, like, an electric shock thing.
Okay.
Actually, no. That was American Pie. Sorry.
See, are you?
No, saving Silverman. Saving Silverman.
That's what I mean. Yeah. See,
sorry, guys.
He's old. His memory's going
yeah,
a little
sorry.
Bit.
Yeah, sorry. Definitely.
But
that's how they did, though. He had a buzzer outside, yeah. And when he'd say something stupid, he'd hit him with a shock, and it would shock the absolute hell out of him.
But
so the Astros took a page out of that book.
But, Connor, you're a baseball guy. I want to hear your opinion. What? And you're a Yankees fan.
They
cheated against you to win the ALCS. How does that make you feel?
There were a couple of thoughts in my mind when CC Sabathia was pitching Game 7 of the American League Championship Series, and in the fourth inning, Evan Gattis hit that home run.
I love Evan Gattis, all right.
Yeah, but that's something completely different. I don't know if you boys were watching that or if you boys remember. CC was pitching real good through three, right?
Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere, Evan Gattis, dude, just launches one. Like,
well, he doesn't wear gloves.
Thank you, Bernie.
I mean, he's a grown man, so
that participates to him.
It could happen.
Him cheating.
He's got that grown man power.
So, the repercussions for Houston cheating—they lost their first and second round picks for this year and next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a $5 million fine, and the head coach and the general manager were both suspended for a year. Now, that being said, Major League Baseball should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is absolutely awful. They need to be ashamed of themselves. Rob Manfred right now looks like a joke. An absolute joke. Pete Rose is betting on his own team to win, right?
Yeah.
Guy, I was waiting for somebody to say that.
They won't let him in the Hall of Fame. Guy had the most hits ever in baseball. Ever.
No steroids, nothing.
In baseball. And these guys are using cameras in center field to find out when there's a fastball coming?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break.
And they're suspended a year, fined $5 million, and lose four draft picks? Are you kidding me?
And I love the players coming out on Twitter. Even Trevor Bauer said, I would much rather face somebody who is on steroids than face somebody who knows what pitch is coming.
Everybody who is involved with this scandal should never play another game baseball.
And I agree with that. I was going to say a lifetime ban. I mean, this is cheating, and a lot of cheating scandals that come out. I mean, you have Deflategate in the NFL, but this is taking stuff away from another team on a road to a World Series win.
And listen, and it's a shame because Jose Altuve, talented player. Talented player.
Alex Bregman, talented player.
Bregman could be the MVP of the American League in the next couple of years.
Carlos Correa. Another talented
player. Carlos Correa, George Springer.
And the players should be just as punished as the managers because they know what was going on.
Carlos Beltran, it was one of the guys who started it.
And I'm glad that he was fired from the Mets. The Mets did the right thing there.
He begged to keep his job in New York, too. Are you, like, for real?
And his niece broke a lot of it on Twitter.
Isn't it crazy that three of the top Major League Baseball franchises right now, the Red Sox, the Astros, and the Mets, do not have a manager? Essentially. Well, they've hired a bench coach, I guess, bench manager.
Well, the Red Sox and Alex Cora parted ways, and they both thought it was a good idea for him to leave after he was part of that in 2017
as well.
Supposedly
the brainchild of the whole thing.
Not only is this affecting who won the World Series, right? They need to put an asterisk mark right next to that World Series. I don't care who you are, and I'll debate it with anybody in the world. I don't care. You knew, like, it's just a different game. I mean, on top of having the best rotation in baseball, hands down, mm-hmm. you need to know what's coming in order for you to hit the ball.
Yeah. No, that's trash. That's horrible. There's no way you can defend it. There's
like,
no way.
These guys should not be able to coach another game. They should not be able to play another game. And they should just not be able to participate in baseball, period.
And there's that, and real quick, there's that one, I forgot the pitcher's name, but I remember.
Fires.
And that was one of the people that noticed the trash can banging to where he was hearing it, and he just noticed, he was like, every time I'm about to throw a curveball, someone's banging a trash can in there, and he called out the catcher, and he changed up the signs, and it immediately struck him out the next pitch. I mean, there's no way around this. They cheated.
Not only does this affect other teams, this is affecting other players around the league. If playing the Astros, that could affect your ERA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming into free agency, that can affect that. That's a couple million dollar difference in Major League Baseball. With what these guys get paid, that's the difference between I don't know, maybe $8 and $15 million.
Especially if you're getting
signed
in the AL West and you're facing the Astros all throughout the season.
Like, if you know what's coming, it's a clear advantage. It's unfair to other players around the league. It's unfair to other teams around the league. It's just, I wonder if the owner, Jim Crane's the one who fired A.J. Hinch and the general manager after they were suspended. Did Jim Crane know what was going on?
Absolutely.
Jim Crane's
suspension? I'm sure he knew.
How do you not know? I mean, this is your team, right?
And right now what's happening with the MLB, I think it's one of those things to where, honestly, the MLB, the Astros, the teams involved, the only reason all this stuff is happening is because it went public. That's the only reason. Do you really think that all this punishment would really be happening if it didn't go public? If they just kept it into a closed-door league meeting and they just said, we'll take away some draft picks for this, but now that everything's coming out because the buzzards is what reignited all this stuff, the buzzards inside the jerseys.
It's just new information coming out.
And the MLB said that they found nothing in the investigation, but then you're seeing, I get on Twitter. I just get on Twitter, and like that alone with Jose Altuve telling people to I'm wearing a buzzer and telling not to rip off your jersey. Like, that alone, it's just like, all right, now all you have to do is see the buzzer.
And then in Josh Reddick's post-game interview, you could clearly see something's on his chest.
And when the Astros were in the Central, the NL Central, were they not a part of this big scandal where they hacked into the Cardinals scouting system? Or was that vice versa?
I do remember that.
Like, this is not the first time that the Astros have tried to gain a competitive advantage
in a
really not great way. Red Sox too. So this whole thing, it really irks me that Rob Manfred is.
It would have been funny to cut you off real quick. I'm gonna just do this.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It would have been funny to watch Beltran coach the Mets this year and watch the Mets win 90 games.
Oh, and just
because they know what's coming.
That would have been hilarious.
But go ahead, Bernie. Yeah, I want to hear Bernie, you with Manfred and the MLB.
Yeah, I just think Manfred should be ashamed.
He should be, and that's what kind of like they're not handling it well at all.
Do you think that this public outcry? Both of you guys can answer this. And also in Major League Baseball, with these teams and owners and managers all kind of complaining that they didn't really get a fair shake. Do you think that changes or overrules what Rob Manfred has already ruled for the Astros, or do you think it just stays the same and people have to deal with it?
I think if I just stay the same.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go under investigation again. I don't think they'll. I mean, and even so, even with all of this stuff, they're probably going to look for more evidence. And just knowing the MLB and how it's been and how it's always been, they're just not going to fix it.
That being said, do you think Hinch, Beltran, or Cora ever get a job in Major League Baseball?
Again? They shouldn't.
I could see. Beltran being hired as an international scout or a
front office assistant or something.
As a manager or as a coach.
The career that he had and his ability to and he's bilingual, so he can talk to all these international players, these Dominican players.
But you can find plenty of bilingual. Baseball players, in my opinion.
Yeah, but
if the character doesn't match.
But with the stats that Carlos Beltran has had, with the career that Beltran had?
Yeah, listen, I'm sure there's plenty of people that can evaluate talent that have never played baseball before. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. I mean, look at Michael Jordan evaluating basketball talent. He can't do it.
But it's different. These guys are trying to get these teenagers from other countries, from internationally, to come play these teams. You know, 8 or 9 teams are sitting in and sitting with you, right? Mm-hmm. You watch Carlos Beltran growing up.
I can see that. Yeah. That's a good point.
If you bring somebody to me who just speaks Spanish.
And he's a huge name in baseball.
And we're chatting, right? That's fine, but who is he? He's a nobody. Carlos Beltran sitting in front of me and telling me to come to New York?
Or that's a good point.
It's better advertising, to be honest. It's just like, hey, Carlos Beltran. With our generation, I mean, growing up, Carlos Beltran was a big player in the MLB. And I do want to pose this one question. Do you see any way the Houston Astros get their 2017 World Series title taken away?
No.
I don't see it either.
No.
I wish.
It is something that baseball fans will remember forever.
Yes.
It'll be somebody who has ever enjoyed watching baseball and whoever takes baseball seriously, it'll be something that fans like us never forget. Mm-hmm. It'll be something that sportscasters never forget.
It's like our parents' generation with Pete Rose. When they say the Pete Rose is suspended from baseball indefinitely and will
lifetime
not be
ban.
Allowed lifetime ban and not for betting on his own team, which I understand how that could warrant punishment, but it's not like he threw games for the team. And he has the most hits in MLB history.
He bet on his team to win.
Yes. Yeah. So if anything, it just shows you how great of a teammate he is. But it's just how can he get a lifetime ban? And then you have people using all this technology to, because you can steal signs if you're a runner on second and you pick up on it. That's part of the game.
That is part of the game.
But when you're using cameras in center field with these crazy zooms and these crazy lenses, and you're bringing with all the technology coming into sports, I mean, it is getting much easier to cheat in sports.
And
it really is.
This is not the first time that Major League Baseball has had this issue. Been an issue for years. People trying to gain an advantage in this way. I think there was a story that came out yesterday about Tony La Russa doing it in the 1980s for the Chicago White Sox. So
by doing something on the scoreboard.
Right, and this is not a new thing. So it's something that baseball has got to get under control, and my rookie mistake, we'll have to deal with that. You want me to go ahead and just start it?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's go ahead and do rookie mistakes.
Okay, so my rookie mistake is Jessica Mendoza, and she is an ESPN analyst, baseball analyst, also a front office executive, whatever you want to call it. She's a confidant for them.
I also think she's a great baseball broadcaster. I will put that out there.
She's all right. I think she's very knowledgeable, but I would say broadcasting-wise, I've seen better.
She's part of the scandal.
She is part of the scandal. So here's the thing. My rookie mistake with her is that she called out Mike Fiers, who is the guy who pretty much blew the whistle on this whole thing, for saying anything instead of going to baseball. So the fact that he made it public is not okay with her. So snitches get stitches in Jessica Mendoza's mind. I have a real problem with that, especially since she's directly correlated to Alex Cora, no pun intended, and
the New York Mets.
And the New York Mets
she's
and Carlos Beltran.
She's in the New York Mets organization.
Exactly.
So, and she was actually a front runner for that general manager position, too.
And
you know?
So she's got skin in the game. So I just feel like it's a conflict of interest. The fact that she went on air on Trey and Golic, or Golic and Wingo, whatever you want to call it, and said that is mind-blowing that she even said that. So Jessica Mendoza, rookie freaking mistake.
Connor, or I'll go. My rookie mistake is Kyrie Irving. He came out. I think Kyrie Irving is a smooth basketball player. I think he's one of the better point guards in the league right now. But he just returned from injury after missing, 20 games? And then after his first game where he struggled down the stretch, he had a pretty decent stat line. He said that the New York Nets are still missing Brooklyn Nets, my goodness, are still missing a few key components. I mean, KD needs to come back, but even when KD comes back, they still need to go out and get some players. I mean, this team just has held it down for you while you were injured for 20 games, and you come back, and after the first game you played, you're throwing them under the bus?
Calling them out already.
Yeah, this isn't the first time Kyrie Irving is throwing teammates under the bus. I mean, we have to start getting to a point to where, is Kyrie a bad locker room presence? Question mark. I don't know, but Kyrie, throwing your players under the bus after your first game back, rookie mistake.
I'm going to have to go ahead and go with Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins. First off, I would like to dedicate a rookie mistake for the rest of my life to everybody associated with this Houston Astros scandal. But twice this week, Brad Marchand has had breakaways and has lost the puck twice.
Okay.
And he's loving it. He's having fun with it. He posted on his Twitter account the other day, my hands appear to have been lost or stolen. If you find them, please return them to TD Garden. So he knows that he has messed up and lost the puck twice, and he's making fun of it. So rookie mistake there, Brad. You could have won the game for your team twice. And as far as that goes, everybody, this is the Saturday edition of The Rookies here on Fox Sports Radio, Charlotte 94.7 FM, 1660 AM. The boys will catch you tomorrow, and I will be on vacation. So, boys, have a great show, and I'll see you next week, Charlotte.
Wow, thanks, buddy. We'll see you guys tomorrow.